Chapter 34, A Final Dilemma. I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be. Albert Einstein, 1879 to 1955. Einstein was one of my early scientific idols. This quote of his had always been one of my favorites. But I now understood what those words actually meant. Crazy as I knew it sounded every time I told my story to one of my scientific colleagues, as I could see in their glazed or perturbed expressions, I knew I was telling them something that had genuine scientific validity, and that it opened the door to a whole new world, a whole new universe of scientific comprehension. Observation that honored consciousness itself as the single greatest entity in all of existence. But one common event in NDEs had not happened with me. Or, more accurately, there was a small group of experiences I had not undergone, and all of these clustered around one fact. While out, I had not remembered my earthly identity. Though no two NDEs are exactly alike, I had discovered early on in my reading that there is a very consistent list of typical features that many contain. One of these is a meeting with one or more deceased people that the NDE subject had known in life. I had met no one I'd known in life. But that part didn't bother me so much, as I'd already discovered that my forgetting of my earthly identity had allowed me to move further in than many NDE subjects do. There was certainly nothing to complain about in that. What did bother me was that there was one person I would have deeply loved to have met. My dad had died 4 years before I entered coma. Given that he knew how I felt I had failed to measure up to his standards during those lost years of mine, why had he not been there to tell me it was okay? For comfort was indeed what the NDE subject's friends or family who greeted them were most often intent on conveying. I longed for that comfort, and yet I hadn't received it. It wasn't that I hadn't received any words of comfort at all, of course. I had, from the girl on the butterfly wing. But wonderful and angelic as this girl was, she was no one I knew. Having seen her every time I entered that idyllic valley on the wing of a butterfly, I remembered her face perfectly, so much so that I knew I had never met her in my life, at least my life on Earth. And in NDEs, it was often the meeting with a known earthly friend or relation that sealed the deal for the people who had undergone these experiences. Try as I did to brush it off, this fact introduced an element of doubt into my thoughts on what it all meant. It wasn't that I doubted what had happened to me. That was impossible, and I'd have just as soon doubted my marriage to Holly or my love for my kids. But the fact that I had traveled to the beyond without meeting my father and met my beautiful companion on the butterfly wing, whom I didn't know, still troubled me. Given the intensely emotional nature of my relationship to my family, my feelings of lack of worth because I had been given away, why hadn't that all-important message that I was loved, that I would never be thrown away, been delivered by someone I knew, someone like my dad? For in fact, thrown away was, on a deep level, how I had indeed felt all through my life, in spite of all the best efforts of my family to heal that feeling through their love. My dad had often told me not to be overly concerned about whatever had happened to me before he and Mom had picked me up at the children's home. "You wouldn't remember anything that happened to you that early anyhow," he'd said. And in that, he'd been wrong. My NDE had convinced me that there is a secret part of ourselves that is recording every last aspect of our earthly lives, and that this recording process commences at the very, very beginning. So on a precognitive, preverbal level, I'd known all through my life that I'd been given away, and on a deep level, I was still struggling to forgive that fact. As long as this question remained open, there would remain a dismissive voice, one that told me, insistently and even deviously, that for all the perfection and wonder of my NDE, Something had been missing, had been off about it. In essence, a part of me still doubted the authenticity of my astonishingly real deep coma experience, and thus of the true existence of that entire realm. To that part of me, it continued to not make sense from a scientific standpoint. And that small but insistent voice of doubt began to threaten the whole new worldview I was slowly building.